about it, punk. Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle.
Hang on. You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with your favorite AU commentators, Vic Herron and Stan Stevens.
Prepare to be entertained and informed. Your life might even change.
And now, your studio host, Keith Maxwell.
All right, here we are again. You guys are following us out in the podcast land. Notice that we just had a podcast posted today. We're going again. We're going to talk about practice, and then recruiting, a little more recruiting, I guess, and then we'll talk about practice. So, Vic, you want to start us off with recruiting?
Shoot, yeah, Keith, man. I tell you what, you know, this time last week I was thinking that we was going to have a lot of big news to talk about, and we still have some news to talk about, but it's not the big news that I thought. I thought maybe last week we might be getting a commitment from Greg Bryant, the running back that decommitted from Oklahoma, and he did decommit from Oklahoma, but he hasn't committed anywhere yet. I also thought we might have a shot at Jayron Kearse, who had been committed to us at one point in time, wide receiver out of Miami, and he wound up committing to Clemson actually turned out to be Thursday. He was supposed to announce on Friday, but he announced on Thursday that he was going to Clemson. And then the other big thing going on this week was Trey Matthews and his family visiting Auburn this weekend. And obviously he did not flip from Georgia to Auburn, but he basically is admitting that he is open and will make a decision sometime coming up soon, hopefully before his season starts. And, of course, he said all along that he would like to play with Reuben Foster. And, you know, of course, now he's backed off that a little bit. But I think Trey is really torn between Georgia and Auburn, and a lot to think about there from his standpoint. And I think he wants to be at Auburn. I think he wants to play with his buddy Reuben Foster, but his parents are Georgia fans, and he's been committed to Georgia for a long time. So, you know, can he pull the trigger and make that switch? We'll see. You know, what do you think about all that, Stan?
Well, I mean it's going to be tough for the young man. You know, I think his folks liked Auburn as well. And so, you know, maybe ultimately, if they leave it, you know, in Trey's hands and with, you know, with their blessing, then maybe he'll end up as a Tiger. I mean, he's awfully good player. One guy I was going to ask you about, Vic, was another running back, Green, I think is his last name.
Derek Green.
Yeah, and, I mean, I saw a picture of the guy, and some people were, you know, were talking to me about this guy, but he looks awfully good. Is he committed anywhere?
He has not committed anywhere. He's narrowed his list down to six schools, with Auburn being one of them, Stan. And the interesting thing about this is it's possible, and, I, we talk a lot about these solid commitments or whatever, but it's possible, you know, I'm hearing that maybe that Derek Green is a little higher on Auburn's board than Greg Bryant Jr. And if that's the case, then they may have slow-played Greg Bryant a little bit, or I feel pretty good about their chances with Derek Green. Now, Derek Green, he is the number one rated running back on the Rivals site. He's a five-star recruit and a big-timer. He really, really did well on the camp circuit this summer, and most people expect him to get even a boost in all the rankings at all the different recruiting sites when they update their rankings. So he's a big-timer. He's a big back. Has good speed, good moves, definitely fits, I think, what Coach Leffler would like to see at Auburn. And, there was a lot of talk and a lot of thought that Greg Bryant Jr. was going to switch to Auburn, and when he didn't, that made some people think that maybe, well, we've got Derek Green already sort of in the house. So even though he hasn't announced, you know, he visited Michigan, I think, this past weekend or 2 weekends ago, I believe it was, and a lot of thought was that maybe he was going to commit to Michigan, but he didn't commit to Michigan. And so there's a lot of thought that maybe that it's going to come down to Auburn for him. And, of course, the the thinking is, like, Greg Bryant Jr. at first was just Auburn and South Carolina after he decommitted from Oklahoma, and now he's mentioned in Georgia. He's mentioned in Alabama. I read today where Alabama's recruiting him as a cornerback. Don't know what that's all about. The guy's one of the top running backs in the nation. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Most people speculating that Auburn will get one of those two backs. You know, both of those guys are big-timers. But I do think that Derek Green may actually fit in Coach Leffler's plans a little bit better than Greg Bryant Jr., who's a little bit smaller. He's a big-timer, no doubt about it. But Derek Green's also a big-timer and has a little bit more power. So if we can get that guy, you know, that's a big one. And one other interesting note on recruiting, Stan, is in one of the articles I read on Trey Matthews and his visit, he was just talking about playing with Carl Lawson and D. Liner and Reuben Foster, and he mentioned Montrevious Adams as if he was already committed to Auburn. And there's been some talk that maybe Montrevious is a solid commitment to Auburn. And of course, he's one of the top recruits in the nation. Some folks have him high as the number two recruit in the nation, top defensive tackle prospect in the nation. You know, it's, again, another one of those five-star guys. You know, I think there's a legitimate chance, Stan, that we could wind up with five stars. And if we could outside shot that we could switch, flip O.J. Howard, that would be six. Now, I'm not too optimistic about O.J. Howard's flipping, but even at five stars, that's just unbelievable, Stan.
Well, I mean, I know we talk about this every week, but I don't know that we've seen recruiting like this ever at Auburn. And, I mean, Coach Chizik, each year, just when you think, boy, it can't be, I mean, this is as good as it's going to be, and good enough. I mean, to me, anytime you get a top 10 class, you've got enough athletes in there to coach them up and to play with anybody, especially if you put enough of those type of classes back to back. And Coach Chizik's had, my estimation, great classes every year. Even the little shortened one he had when he came in. After Tommy left, you know, still has produced, you know, Lutzenkirchen and the like. So, but I don't know. I mean, this just keeps getting better and better. And it's amazing when you realize that, you know, Alabama is obviously recruiting at probably the highest level they've recruited. And yet Auburn still recruiting right there with them man for man. So, it's gonna be interesting over the next few years, Vic, to see how.
Well, and what it does, Stan, it creates great depth and it creates a lot of competition, and we're already seeing that with the first 4 days of practice. All of this competition that's going on and the battle for the different spots and the talented guys that we have, a lot of them are young and inexperienced. But that just goes to show what this great recruiting does for you, though. It provides that opportunity for you to have great competition for these jobs, and if the kids don't perform, you know, you got somebody else right there that can step in, and it keeps everybody working extremely hard because they know if they don't, then somebody's going to take their spot. And so I think that's what we're seeing already in the first 4 days of practice, and I know that's probably where we want to go next. But let me just wrap up the recruiting thing just a second. You know, I think that, you know, we've talked a lot about the way that the recruiting scene has changed and all these early commitments, you know, and you know, it's possible if a couple more of these guys were to commit this summer. Basically, you know, our class for this year would be done. It would just be a matter of, you know, holding on to them and making sure that you follow up on them and go ahead and start recruiting for, you know, next year's class. But it's just interesting to see, and there'll be some battles that go all the way to the end. Montrevious Adams, you know, the Met said that he won't announce at least until the All-Star game or even possibly on signing day. So there'll be some battles that go all the way to the end. But it's just different that here we are. We haven't even got to our first football game yet, and recruiting is about already wrapped up and over. And, of course, there'll always be some switching and some flipping and some interesting turns. But it's just amazing that we've got that recruiting class already done.
And in that vein, you know, I keep hearing about, you know, there's the possibility of an early signing time for football like they have in the other sports, certainly, you know, of course, basketball. Comes to mind, but it will be interesting to see if eventually they do pass that to kind of make some of this flipping and flopping and, you know, all the news conference stuff be a little more meaningful for some of these guys. But, you know, talking about the first 4 days of practice. Of course, again, you know, I was mentioning to you off air about the bullseye on my back with my early 14-0 prediction. And I mean, honestly, my son-in-law was even asking me this weekend, well, hey, if you went 13-1 and you won the national championship, would you be disappointed? Well, obviously, you know, the answer to that is, of course, I wouldn't. And he said, what about 12?
I'm still going to make fun of you and talk bad about you, though, because prediction is not 13-1. The prediction is obviously 14-0. And
I understand.
So if it's 13-1, then you failed. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
I understand that. And, of course, I wouldn't expect anything different from you, for sure. Even if we go 14-0, I'm looking for, you know, some derision. But you know, but he was asking me, you know, what about 12-2 and you beat Bama and you win the SEC? Well, I told him, I said, no, it's got to be 14-0. But, you know, personally, I mean, I certainly would be happy with, you know, beating your best rival or your chief rival and then winning the SEC and that kind of thing. But, yeah, 14-0 is going to be tough. And like you're saying, we're starting out a little bit. Well, and I even wanted to maybe talk a little bit about it after the first 4 days. You know, where we have some concerns on offense and defense, and where does it look like we have the strengths on offense and defense to maybe, you know, start out by beating Clemson, and that's kind of where it's obviously got to begin.
And see, that's the problem I have, Stan. I certainly love Auburn and certainly can see all the talent and the great recruiting, and I love that part of it, and I think it's great that we have all these talented players. And I haven't counted them up yet, but the number of freshmen and sophomores that's going to be in our starting lineup come, you know, when we play Clemson on September 1st, it's going to be a large number of freshmen and sophomores that's in that starting lineup. You know, and these are talented freshmen and sophomores, and some of them are red shirts, and that helps. But it's still, that's a lot of young guys that you're going to be going to war with, you know. So,
sure.
My experience over my almost 51 years is that you're going to have some bumps in the road along the way when you're playing that many young guys. And, you know, boy, I'm sure hoping that you're right and that I'm wrong. But, you know, the reality is, you know, we have, you know, I'm not sure we can look at one position on our team except for maybe the kicking game where we can say that's a strength. We know for sure that's a strength. I'm not sure that there's one position where you can say that. If you had to pick one besides the punter and the kicker, and maybe special teams, which I think Coach Boulware has done a really good job with our special teams, and I think we'll have enough talent there to be good in that area. But, like, where would you say is the strength of our team based on, you know, what we've got coming back?
I mean, to me, I mean, if you want to start, like, on both sides of the ball, I mean, offensively – first of all, I mean, places where we have, I think, a lot of potential for strength, if you will, then. I mean, running back.
Well, but see, if you're going to talk about potential, you're talking about the whole team, basically.
Well, no, but I'm telling you right now, running back, when you got O'Mac, you got Blakely, you got Grant, you got Trey Mason, that's as much of a strength as we've had. I mean, when you take all those guys, plus even speaking of a freshman, and we've seen a few freshmen back.
How many games have you seen? How many games have you seen Mike Blakely or Corey Grant play yet?
None.
How much college football have either one of those two guys played? And you've mentioned them as a strength on our team.
Well, again,
see, that's where the orange and blue Kool-Aid drinking is really an issue for you.
No, that's not true, because when you look at what they've done in scrimmaging against an Auburn defense and what the coaches say about them, you know.
Okay, now what was that defense ranked last year?
It was ranked 81st. But it wasn't necessarily ranked 81st against the run. I'd have to look at the run defense.
We were a little bit better against the run. I agree.
But even having said that, that's a little bit like when a guy gets up and says in a court of law, hey, you know, do you think this guy's guilty? And maybe people nod their head and they say, well, wait a minute, you're innocent until proven guilty. Except there's one problem with that. The police went out and investigated, and they got this guy in front of you. And that's why people might tend to think he's guilty, because the police go out, and it's the same same thing with this. If these guys just walked off the street and had a certain size to them or whatever, and you said, well, I can look, man, I saw that guy, you know, I saw him jump over a garbage can over there a while ago. He's going to be a – no, that's not what we're saying. I mean, Mike Blakely's the number one rated running back in the state of Florida. Well, how do you get to be the number one rated running back, Vic?
Who, for some reason, couldn't cut it at Florida.
No, he couldn't cut it at Florida. That's not the case at all. There's nothing out there that says he couldn't cut it at Florida, and I don't even know what that means.
Well, I'm just saying, why did he leave Florida? And you got Corey Grant who left Alabama. It wasn't because they were lighting it up there.
Well, again, those are the guys down the depth chart. O-Mac, I've seen him play. I know he can play.
I agree. There are certain things he can do.
And I've seen Trey Mason.
And I'm pretty excited about Trey Mason. But you said that's a strength on our team.
I'm saying when you take those four guys, all of them, and even and the kid from Memphis, those five guys, and if you don't think one of those guys will be playing, then you're worse than not drinking Kool-Aid. I mean, you're drinking poison. I mean, man, your mind's been poisoned. If you can't see one of those guys emerging as a top flight back, then we can forget talking about recruiting.
Well, yeah, because all five of those guys are four-star guys. I mean,
that's right. So if for all of us, so what is the chance? What makes
think they're good players?
What makes more sense?
I mean, you know, I've been following recruiting my whole life. I mean, there's tons of four-star and five-star guys who don't pan out. Now, I'm like,
I understand that. But how many times?
Wait a minute. Five of them.
How many times have you seen five four-star guys? None of them pan. Well, I can say O-Mac's already shown he can play.
Yeah, can play, but. I agree with that, but at the same time, sometimes the yard line trips him up.
Well, I mean, Bo Jackson didn't go to distance.
I mean, sometimes he's going out of bounds, you know, to make sure he don't get hit. I mean, he's not going to be a between the tackles type guy. Now, maybe he's a little bit, you know, I think he's up to 177 pounds this year. That's a little bigger than he's been.
So,
I'm not sure an O-Mac's taking on too many linebackers.
Is O-Mac a strength or not, then? You're saying he's not a strength based on what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm saying in the right plays, in the right scheme, that he can be a strength. But if he's got to be your starting tailback, would you think he's a strength? Would you pick him over Trent Richardson?
No. I wouldn't take anybody over those other two guys. I wouldn't necessarily make an argument for anything.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
but you
again,
understand what I'm saying. I mean, we've got so many question marks on our team. It's hard that I could take anything that you say is a strength on our team, except for maybe the kicking game. I can point to all kinds of possibilities of that not being a strength.
Well,
I mean, Trey Mason looked good at times last year, but I mean, you know, still he hasn't done it against an LSU or an Alabama and put up any kind of numbers against those kinds of teams and those kinds of defense. He had a pretty good game against Virginia, but our whole offense had a pretty good game against Virginia. Barrett Trotter looked like a Heisman Trophy winner against Virginia.
Well, if that's the case, though, then obviously you don't think Prosh at fullback is a strength. You say we don't have a strength, so he's not a strength either. Lutzen Kirkin's not a strength. Emory Blake and the number of receivers that we have, again, you'd have to say that's a weakness.
Well, we got some players that I would say are strengths. I would go along with that. I think Lutzen Kirkin is a great player. I think Emory Blake's a great player. Can you say our wide receiving crew is a strength of our team?
I think so. I think Emory Blake's about as good as there is in the league. He's certainly one of the top receivers in the league. And I think between all the other guys that we have, again, I think a couple of guys will emerge, and it won't be a weakness.
Well, I hope you're right in every case. And I do think Prosh, you know, when you talk about a fullback, I think he's going to be as good as anybody's.
He did it at Illinois. He was
right. You know, that's not saying a kid out of high school or a highly rated guy or something like that. I mean, he actually was an All-American fullback at Illinois and playing in a pretty good league and in a pretty physical brand of football up there. So, you know, I definitely put, and just from all the talk of all of our players and coaches, you know, that have already been singing his praises, you know, I think he's the real deal. And I think he's going to have a tremendous impact. You know, we've talked about him quite a bit on our podcast, and you know, we're definitely both in his corner, you know, and I think you could point. And, you know, it's just a lot of unanswered questions. And when you compare Auburn's team to maybe some of the other teams, I'm sure everybody's got some unanswered questions. But
sure.
At the same time, you know, we certainly got our our share. You know, I mean, if you just want to look across the state and look at Alabama, you know, Eddie Lacy, I think, is a proven back in the SEC. He's a tough runner, big kid. Their offensive line, you know, most people talk about that to be an NFL-type line, you know, that's basically all back and were proven last year to be a quality offensive line. We just – Auburn doesn't have those kind of proven commodities. Now, the reality is all of our guys could be better than anybody they got. But until they prove it, it's just hard to say that. And that's why, you know, people when gonna look at you a little funny when you come out and say Auburn's going 14-0. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You
well,
know, if they
it's
all
beyond
pan
that,
out,
though.
If all of our guys pan out, you know, they're talented enough to do it. But, I mean, that's asking a lot for some young guys.
Well, certainly. I mean, to be serious about it, I mean, picking 14-0 is tough just because even if you were the Indianapolis Colts, you might not go. I mean, Alabama
sure.
didn't go undefeated, and LSU didn't go undefeated. Nobody went undefeated last year. I understand that it's, you know, all, some of that is somewhat tongue-in-cheek, even though some of that, again, is based on if you're 8-0, if you're 9-0, then – You know, if you tell me we're going to lose two games in the first of the year, okay, we won't go 14-0. I understand that. You have keys. Clemson obviously is a key for more than just you got to win it to go undefeated. You're going to find out right then. After that game, I think we'll know a lot more about who can do what than we'll know up until that game just because of the quality of the opponent. Then when you play LSU after week four, well, I mean, there it is. If you can beat LSU, and you may not. You may get killed by LSU again this year.
3-0, if we're 3-0 going into that game, then I'll feel pretty decent about it. I don't know that I'll feel good about it because LSU is very talented, and most people got them picked to be the number one team in the country. But, you know, we usually play them pretty well at Jordan-Hare, and we'll take our chances on it. Well, let's talk about some more of the early practices, Stan, and, like, some of the things that you've seen. I've quit kind of dogging you about your prediction. I am pretty excited about it all. I know I'm kind of talking bad about us a little bit, but the reality is I'm pretty pumped about it. Now, we've had a few things that's got me a little bit concerned, some of the offensive line issues. You want to talk about some of those issues for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that is where I would have started on guys that when you lose a guy like Eric Mack, who – at least after the spring, seemed to be kind of starting to live up to some of the potential he had from when he came out of South Carolina. And then obviously the tragedy that he went through, I'm sure he's dealing with some really, really, really tough things. But Christian Westerman, who, was one of the top offensive linemen in the country, he's added like 25 pounds. I think I saw him in an interview. And apparently he looks like he's going to be tough. But, again, you know, he had, like you said, he hadn't proven it. And Greg Robinson, we're going to be extremely young on the offensive line. I don't guess there'll be a place on the field where we'll maybe be any younger. But there is a lot of talent there. And these are – of course, I'm getting a lot of, you know, what I'm – obviously, I'm not at practice. I'm getting a lot from what I hear the coaches and some other people that are have done this professionally for a long time and say, hey, these guys look the part. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough. If you – John Sullen, another guy who was actually a senior, is a senior, and has not participated yet, which is kind of a head-scratcher about what's going on with him. So, you know, I think Chad Slade – you know, he's proven even last year that he was a good player and he's only gotten better. But that's to me, yeah, if you want to talk about an obviously quarterback. I mean, Kyle Frazier hadn't been named the starter, and what I read is that maybe Clint's still struggling a little bit with his arm. I mean, that's,
right.
that's
and
what
I – to be
I
honest with you, I think that's probably just a formality, don't you think? I mean, I think obviously –
Well, I'll be shocked. I will
yeah.
I will say this, if Clint's, you know, even struggling even any with his arm strength and with the overall physical talents that appears Kyle Frazier has, if Kyle doesn't win the starting position, then I think probably, yeah, I mean, we would probably be in trouble. It'd be too late to back out on my prediction, I guess, but that would be, I mean, that would be a serious blow. I am putting – you know, a lot of emphasis on Kyle's background. And even what I saw, again, as I said last week, what I saw out of him last year, I take more of a positive out of the fact that the kid was able to get out on the field as a true freshman and run Malzahn's offense, albeit, you know, limited. And in some of the comments that we've commented on earlier shows about his arm strength, I think Kyle Frazier, once we get into pads and get toward the season, will be the clear number one. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Coach Leffler is the one and Coach Chizik will make that call. But so, yeah, I mean, I've got some concerns. Like I said, I think the receivers will end up being there. I think the running back, somebody running behind Prosh, will be good enough. Will we be able to open up any holes? I think, you know, Dismukes in the middle, that's a good start. I mean, he's on some watch lists, freshman All-American. I think he's going to be as good a center as we've had, you know, barring injury or something. So,
I know I was on the running backs earlier, but I am encouraged that Coach Leffler has been sort of singing their praises, to be honest with you. You know, he says our running backs are doing their job and they're prepared and they're working hard. And, you know, I don't think there's any question those guys are talented enough to get it done. If the offensive line can do what they do and Jay Prosh is as good as we think he is, there's going to be some running lanes. You know, those guys are going to be talented enough, I think, to do some damage, you know. So,
talking about that offensive line, me and you talked, you know, into last season or whatever about – you know, the offensive line last year, I don't know if we played five of those freshmen, if they're anywhere near what they were touted to be, could be a whole lot maybe worse than it was at times last year with even a couple of the upperclassmen. And so that's the only thing I'm encouraged by. Not so much – it's just when I hear the coaches, and typically coaches won't say these guys are – Coach Chizik has been saying, I mean, the effort. I mean, it appears that there's been somewhat of a change in attitude, even through the summer workouts. And I know you may have read some of that about the leadership and what they were demanding of these new kids. Maybe we got off the track a little bit last year, but it seemed like summer workouts, there was more of an urgency – to these guys being ready to come in and play. And I think I'm basing some of that on, you know, again, some of that information. But, you know, you're right. I mean, it starts with the offensive line, and those guys will have to be playing, you know, at a pretty high level. Of course, you know, there's been a few occasions, you know, I mean, Steve Wallace came in years ago for us. I mean, the Smith guy over at Bama, as a freshman, I mean, there's been some freshmen that have played before and been decent. I'm hoping that'll be the case at Auburn.
Right. Well, Stan, one guy I want to mention, you know, because all Auburn fans know this guy and respect him and are certainly pulling for him, and that's Sean Coleman. You know, this guy was a five-star offensive lineman 2 years ago. Of course, he was diagnosed with leukemia and he's battled back. But I'm actually hearing some pretty good things about Sean so far this fall. You reckon there's a chance? That, you know, I basically just felt like, you know, he's probably a year away just to get his strength back and, you know, get back into the flow of things. But, you know, if John Sullen can't get back out there in an Eric Mack situation, you know, basically we've got four guys there when you're talking about Robinson, Westerman, Dismukes, and Slade. You know, so you're looking for one more. And I know Grimes has always said that, you know, it don't matter. He's going to find his best five guys and get them out there. How good would it be if Sean Coleman could come on and be that fifth guy and get out there on that right tackle spot and let Slade move into guard? I mean, that's an extremely talented offensive line there. I don't know. You know, I don't want to get my hopes up on that, but that would be a great, great story. And I know everybody's pulling for Sean.
Well, yeah, I remember just thinking when he was improving that it would be great for him just to be at Auburn, be with these guys, get his degree, and then to be where he is now. It's amazing. I did read something where somebody was commenting on him that he had really gotten bigger and stronger and all, you know, all that, obviously that you would be after getting off of treatments and getting better. And, yeah, I'd love to see it. I mean, you're right that, I mean, I think we'll have a lot of talent up there, but I mean, experience, I mean, I don't want to downplay, I mean, there's no question experience is huge. That's one of the reasons I think even like our defensive front, which I still think is going to be maybe the strongest position on the team, is just we've got so many defensive linemen that are just so, that, and a lot of them have played. A lot of them have been impressive at sometimes and not so, you know, much at others. But, I mean, the depth we have on the defensive front and being another year older. And they say, you know, Jeff Whitaker especially has lost down to around, what, 305 and is just a lot quicker. Again, defensively, what are you thinking? What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, when you look at our team and the question that I was asking earlier, of course, I think he kind of went side of the ball, but, you know, talking about the kicking game, I think with Clark and Parkey back, you know, that's a strength of our team. But to me, possibly the next biggest strength we have is our defensive line, because you can go out to defensive end and you can find, I think, four quality players out there, maybe even five or six. You go to the defensive tackle rotation, I think you're looking at five guys that they're really, really high on. And, again, we're all still pretty young, to be honest with you. We're juniors or lower, no seniors amongst any of them, you know. But still, when you're getting up to juniors, you know, you're getting up there with some upperclassmen, and you got some guys that's played a lot of football when you're talking about Lemonnier and D. Ford and Nosa and Whitaker and Carter and those freshmen that played, Gabe Wright, Angelo Blackson, and Devontae Ziegler, that all got some time last year. I think those guys are growing up a lot. I certainly look the part. Man, those guys look unbelievable.
Yeah, they are. And that's one of the things, Vic, you keep reading and hearing about is how much, I mean, somebody was saying tonight that Coach Yoxel ought to be at some kind of award for, I mean, he said the way these guys look, I mean, he said that, I mean, this one guy, I guess, had observed some practices, said the guys were just huge. And not just huge, but, I mean, you know, cut up.
Speaking of that, I want to talk about one of my pet peeves. And maybe they do this on purpose. I don't know. I don't really understand it. But I would love to see an updated roster that has current sizes and weight, heights and weights.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, you're not
it.
By yourself.
You can't,
I mean,
find that's frustrating to me. You know, I want to know. As a fan, I want to know, you know, how big these guys are. I saw a picture of D. Ford the other day. You know, they lift him now like at 245. There's no way that guy's just 245. You know, he has to be bigger than that. And, you know, I would like to see some of their weights are still, like Chris Frost, I think, is still listed at 215. But I've read over and over, you know, that he's up to 235 and wants to play at 240. I would just like to see, like, what everybody's size is and, you know, how much they weigh goes. But, I mean, I guess that's another one of Coach Chizik's things. He don't really like to release a lot of information.
There's probably some advantage to maybe somebody thinking, hey, let's go up against this Ford guy. He's 210. And then
yeah.
You get out of here and he's as big as your offensive lineman. So, you know, I don't know if that's it or not. I think that's why we don't see, though, a lot of that, because, again, I don't know that they just spend. See, that's the thing, Vic. I don't know that they'll spend that much time for any official purpose actually weighing. Now, they probably weigh guys, I've heard, like, after practices to make sure, you know, they put this much fluids back in them, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I'm just not sure that that Coach Chizik and on down, you know, on the staff, they're doing anything to say, hey, by the way, I see on your, you know, website, you got this guy, and he's really, because I just don't think they care. I mean,
right.
I don't think they care that we know.
Right.
So that is tough, because I do see that, you know, on some of the boards that I follow, you know, Auburn Undercover, you know, obviously, especially, and then that question is asked, you're not by yourself on that, and, you know, it's, you see them saying, well, we'll, you know, we'll try to see if we can get that information, but apparently, you know,
it's hard
again,
to find, isn't it?
Well, and once the season kind of gets going, getting the guy over to, you know, to get the mark on and see how tall, you know, or, you know, if it, the weight and all that, it just doesn't seem like that's something that's released.
No, you're right. Hey, another position I think that's interesting, Stan, is the defensive backfield. You know, we've got a lot of talented guys there, but, you know, one thing I was thinking about the other day, you know, Tasharvin Bell's back. They sing his praises, you know, say he's 100% back, and great attitude, great leader, and all this kind of stuff. Then you've got Demetrius McNeil, who's a returning starter. You know, it's possible neither one of them guys are going to have a place to play.
Well, that's right. And, I mean, I've been – again, it would appear on paper that we have maybe more DBs than we've had maybe ever, some guy was saying. But and really untested in the secondary, I would give you that. But it does seem like we've got bigger, faster guys. I hear a lot of good things about Threezy at a corner. Yeah, I mean, somebody.
Well, I think right now, Stan, I think the starters right now, I don't know this. This is just my speculation, really. I'm not sure I've heard anything that would really tell me what the starters would be right now. But I think Chris Davis starts at a corner, and I think Jermaine Whitehead starts at a safety, and I think Enrique Florence starts at a safety, and then possibly that other cornerback is going to be Jonathan Mincy. And then Chris Davis is going to slide the nickel. And possibly free up room for I said Mincy, probably Threezy is the other corner. And then when they go to nickel, I think Mincy's going to go to corner and Chris Davis is going to slide into the nickel. And still, you haven't mentioned Tasharvin Bell or Demetrius McNeil. Now, McNeil, you know, I'm sure he's still in a battle for that starting position with Enrique Florence. But, boy, they really sing Jermaine Whitehead's praises, don't they? Like, he is really a smart guy.
Well,
and
yeah.
I believe he's got one of those spots about nailed down, to be honest with you. I know it's early, but I really believe they didn't move him to safety for him to sit on the bench. So I think that guy's going to be a starter. And so then you have Demetrius McNeil. And, of course, you know, they're pretty high on Trent Fisher, too. So it'd be interesting to see if Trent Fisher can get some playing time back there. But,
we've got
a lot of skilled guys, you know.
Well, and on one of your points from earlier this evening, what do you think, though, in a situation where you've got Tasharvin Bell, who's obviously – we've seen him play many, 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 many games and quality. Of course, he tore his knee up, but by all accounts, he's moving around. The knee's 100%. If one of these guys that hasn't played beats out a guy like that in practice, you got guys – Coach Van Gorder, you got Willie Martinez observing this thing. Isn't it – even though they haven't done it out against SEC competition, doesn't that at least tell you something if a guy can come, maybe beat out a fifth-year guy that's been in SEC who's been, picked as maybe as like second, third-team SEC, all-SEC, like a Tasharvin Bell possible?
Sure.
I mean, would not give you a little more confidence, in at least in that case, where a young guy is beating out a veteran?
It does, you know, it does. But, you know, to be honest with you, you know, every team we play is going to have talented players, you know, and a lot of them, until you get out there in front of 85 or 90,000 people, you don't know how you're going to perform, you know, when the big lights are on and ESPN's in the house and that whole deal, you know. So, you know, the number of guys we've got out there that haven't done that before, you just, you know, have a lot of unknowns there. Yeah, they're talented. Yeah, they're maybe a better player and do things right in practice, but will they make all the right plays when it's on the big stage? You know, that's just something you don't know until
I wouldn't expect, I wouldn't necessarily expect them to not make their share of mistakes. I guess where I would be just a little different is I think that maybe some of the athleticism in other words, I don't think making necessarily mistakes is always going to get you beat unless it's, you know, I mean, the last play of the game kind of thing or whatever. But, well, so what do you, I mean, early on, we're way – or I won't hold you to this, but, I mean, as we go into Clemson, how do you feel we match up against Clemson based on what you know right now? Concerned about Clemson. I think that's a linchpin.
I am, too. You know, I think we caught a break with Sammy Watkins going out. You know, it was interesting reading that a lot of our defensive backs were upset that, you know, they weren't going to get to play against him. But I know one thing, he made us look bad last year, you know, and it was some of those same guys we got back there that's going to be trying to – deal with him again. You know, I don't think there's any question that Clemson losing a Sammy Watkins, you know, lessens their team a little bit. Now, I hope that what doesn't happen is that we think, oh, they don't have Sammy Watkins, you know, they won't be able to do certain things in the passing game or whatever, because they still have some talented guys. And, you know, Boyd lit us up last year, you know, so that's one of those things where, you know, that you worry about. But it certainly helps our chances, you know, that they don't have what a lot of people consider as an all-American wide receiver out there and a game-changer, game-breaker type guy. But, you know, I think that Clemson has a lot of unanswered questions as well. But the reality is, you know, they do have an experienced quarterback coming back. They got an experienced running back. You know, Coach Sweeney, he's done a nice job of recruiting the last two or three years. You know, they do have some talented guys coming. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, exactly how that matchup is. And obviously, those, you know, first polls came out. They were ranked number 14 in the country. And you know, obviously, you know, these people who study these things for a living, you know, they're not putting them up there at 14 because they don't have any good players, you know.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to be a tough test for us. You know, it's on a neutral field. I think it's a little bit to our advantage to be playing in Atlanta, but at the same time, that's not playing at Jordan-Hare. And it's going to be a big stage for our incredibly inexperienced team. So, you know, can we handle it? Well, I sure hope so. Because, you know, because I'm like you, I do realize that even if we beat Clemson, I don't think we're going undefeated. But I do know that it's going to propel us to a much better season, I think, if we can win
that.
Well,
it sets the tone. I mean, for a number of reasons. Not only, again, you have to win that one, but if you are able to be up to what I would almost say mid-season form, let's say, to play against a team that would be a – one of the better teams on our schedule, and obviously we play a tough one within the SEC. But I mean, I think if you're able to come out in that first game playing all these young guys, it's a lot of ifs. Like I say, I mean, you know, we go out there and don't play well and get beat, I'm gonna have more than worry about than just 14-0. That's gonna probably tell me then it's gonna be a lot bigger rebuilding than I. You know, that maybe some of these guys like Coach Van Gorder and Coach Martinez, even Coach Leffler, have not been able to maybe, you know, it's just going to take a lot longer. And then the fact that we have an advantageous schedule maybe is not going to, you know, I mean, we're not maybe going to be able to take advantage of that. But I don't know. I'm looking forward. I mean, Clemson's got a lot of work themselves to do on defense. They gave up a lot of points.
They did, and they lost some of those guys, you know, so they're having to replace those guys. They're replacing a lot of guys on the offensive line. And I'll be honest with you, you know, if we can just control the running game, they're going to have a hard time, I think, blocking Lemonnier and Dee Ford. You know, those two guys coming off the edge is going to be a load. So if we get back there, last year I remember watching Boyd stand back there, having all day to throw the ball, and he picked us apart, you know, but I don't see anybody really having that kind of time against us this year, to be honest with you. I think we're going to get pressure, and Van Gorder, I think, understands you got to get pressure on the quarterback, and he's going to bring enough pressure to keep him uncomfortable. And I think that'll be the difference. You know, I hope that'll be the difference. And then, you know, Kyle Frazier's first big true test, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how he performs and how well he plays. And can he minimize the mistakes, you know? So, so much riding on it, you know, a lot of pressure on both teams. You know, Coach Sweeney, a little bit on the – I know he won the ACC last year, but then got drilled in that bowl game. So I'm not saying he's on the hot seat because he's recruiting well. That usually helps a little bit. But, you know, it won't be good for him to get off to a bad start either. So, you know, a lot of pressure on both teams.
It's a huge game for the Tigers.
Yeah, no
whichever,
doubt.
Whichever side you fall down on that, I mean, no question. I think we will beat them, but I mean, obviously, like you say, they're ranked 14th, 15th, whatever. We're 25, and some, you know, people that know would fall more in your camp about what we can do. I like playing in the Georgia Dome and with what we've got coming over there, and then again some of their defensive. You know, they've got to hope that Brent Venables, you know, has brought in just, you know, a real scoring-stopping defense because, again, out of their last, last eight games of the year, except for when they played Vitek, for the ACC title, you know, they won 38-10. But if you go all the way back to October 15th, they gave up 45, 38, 31, 38, 37, 34. They had the 10 and then gave up 70.
Wow.
I mean, that's, you know, and I mean, we're talking Wake Forest and Georgia Tech, North Carolina, I mean, Maryland. Not necessarily, you know, a household name offensively. So, that's what maybe gives me a little hope on our offense, even though it will be young. We've got some seniors in there. I mean, with Lutzenkirchen and Emery Blake, you know, O-Mac. We've got some seniors mixed in around. But, again, it'll come down to the offensive line. Can talented youth, you know, handle it?
Right. Well, and the neat thing about this game, Stan, we have a few more weeks to break it down before we actually kick
sure.
it off. You know, now, most weeks we'll be trying to scramble around and analyze it, you know, just one week, you know. So we'll get this one analyzed pretty well over the next couple of weeks. So it's just right now is preseason practice. It's going to be interesting to see some of these position battles play out and who winds up winning jobs, you know. Which,
well,
I know just because you win the job in the first game doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to hold on to it for a whole year. But it'll be interesting to see who they wind up, you know, sliding into those starting spots, you know, come that Clemson game.
Well, and especially next Sunday's show should be, because starting tomorrow, they go full pads.
Right.
And as you know, I mean, that really is the old phrase, the old, you know, tired phrase of separating the men from the boys. I mean, guys can look great in shells and in, you know, helmet and shoulder pads. And there's ways to look bad when you're in shorts. But, I mean, once you go full pads, I mean, we're going to find out which guys can handle it. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Next Sunday, Vic, will really be interesting to see who appears to be, you know, the starting, you know, 11 on both sides, you know, after a week of full pads.
Right. And I'm curious right now, you know, obviously the big question is, which I don't think there's any question that Kyle's going to be the starting quarterback, but, you know, I just go back to 2 years ago when right after spring practice, they went ahead and named Cam. You know, right as soon as practice was over, they wasn't willing to name a starter. But after
right.
a couple of weeks, they went ahead and named Cam the starter. And I think that did help, you know, everybody knowing who it was. Now, like I said, I think probably a lot of the players know it. You know, the coaches probably sort of know it. They just hadn't publicly announced it yet. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting some things done. And, of course, hopefully Kyle will separate himself and play like we think he's capable of playing, because I think we're going to need him to. And so
I agree.
I'm interested in seeing how quickly they're going to name him the starting quarterback.
Well, here you go. Here's my first prediction. By next Sunday show, we'll know the starting quarterback. There
well,
you go.
If you're 0-for-1 right off the bat with the preseason practice, because I don't think by next Sunday we'll know that he's the starting quarterback. I hope you're right. I'm going to be honest with you. I hope you're right, but I don't think they'll have announced it by next Sunday.
Well,
so,
that will not be a first test. And, I mean, you know,
that,
you know, you got to take some chances if you're 14-0. And, oh, by the way, do me a little favor, Vic. Drink a little bit from the Kool-Aid and get off my back, man. I mean, I'm getting enough of this heat from my Bama buddies. But, hey, as you can tell, bring it on. You know, I need to get a little battle tested before the season gets started. But,
you know, I'm going to call it like I see it, man. I just don't see it this year. So
we'll
go back and forth a little bit.
I'm not that far off on what you're saying. I do think you're way off on the running back analysis, but we'll revisit that next week. I guess
good.
that's about all I saw we got, Keith. Unless you got something.
Well, I'm just glad it didn't come to blows this week. It's good y'all in different areas of the country, different parts of the state. So maybe that's the only thing that kept that from happening, but.
Hey, listen, we didn't come over blows over Larry Ford back in, what was that, Vic, 1980, what was that, 80, 82 and 3?
Yeah, but I still want to beat you up over that.
Well, I understand. Hey, I beat myself up over that many, many, many times.
I was going to invite you two down to come down and watch a practice, too, and, you know, I don't know, I maybe need to do it separate trips, so.
No, me and Vic are always cool. He couldn't handle me on the basketball courts down there, and he didn't fight me, so we're all right.
Oh my goodness. No credibility right there.
Oh, please.
All right, guys. All right, well, I appreciate it. It sounds good. Sound like y'all getting more excited as we get closer and closer. And how many days are we away from kickoff, Stan?
Now I have to pull up my screen. September 1st, and what is today? Today's the 5th of August. So I'll let you math guys do the math on that.
September 1st is the first game. My goodness,
that's
it's,
right.
It's almost on us. It was 4 weeks away from yesterday, right? Is it, or
that's right. 4 weeks.
Yep, that's right. So,
wow.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to get on top of our game on the podcast then, guys.
Yeah, we just need – and you podcast listeners out there, tell your friends, you know, they were saying wake your neighbors, you know, tell them about the AU Fans podcast. Come on, I mean – me and Vic can even we can even ratchet up a little bit more if we need to for ratings, can't we?
Oh, no doubt about it. And I guarantee you, I can prove you wrong many times over.
He's a legend in his own mind, folks.
All right, guys. We're signing off. We'll talk to you guys next week then.
Okay, Keith. Thanks, Vic. Vic, appreciate it. Okay, man.